At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast, brought to you by our friends at Geico. Whether you own your home or rent your home, we know it can be a lot of hard work, but you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
So this show, we're going to take a deep dive into the new Hennessy Mammoth 1000.
Yeah.
1,000 horsepower plus. Matt drove that, so we'll talk about his impressions. Tesla Plaid, do an overview of that. Porsche Mission R. We'll get into all that. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. DIYers and pros have trusted JB Weld for over 50 years for projects big and small. Home or garage, use the world's strongest bond. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner. JB Welders are the good people. We use it here. Everyone here uses it here because they make something for every application. Metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. Fixed Sonny's tennis shoe. Fixed some stonework in front of my house. And just keep it in your kitchen drawer. By the way, JB Weld just acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
Get it on. Got to get on. Joe's ready to get a minute. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there. How goes it with you, Matt?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man.
Oh, man. We got some fun things to talk about today. Let me just kick things off with a reminder from our friends at JB Weld. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right, what's going on with you in the car world?
Did you see that monster truck I drove?
No.
You didn't see it over there?
Is it a black?
Yeah. So.
Is it a Ram?
It's the Ram TRX, which we've driven before.
Oh, okay. So that one's on me because I was pulling into the other shop. I had some quick things to do with Sean, some design, some fabrication, and as I was pulling in, and this is an interesting window into the human mind,
yeah.
You know, because I'm always just like scanning for stuff, and I'm looking for stuff that's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's I'm a profiler, you know. So I was pulling in, and I wasn't pulling in. I was kind of down the street, and I see this big black hood.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, that looks like a big Dodge truck. Mm-hmm. And then my next thought is, oh, Sean didn't drive his Prius. Sean drove his Dodge.
Right.
And then my next thought is, Sean never drives his Dodge. But then my next thought is, well, I guess he drove his Dodge. Yeah. And I just pull it. So that was my little brain, yeah, like doing, like, I got to make sense of this. Whose Dodge is that? It's got to be Sean. And then I didn't look at it as I pulled in because I'd signed off 100 feet down the street that was Sean's truck, and I didn't need to slow down and examine his dog nuts hanging off the back of that thing. So I completely just went right past it. But it was interesting that I had the thought, like, Sean never drives his truck.
Yeah. And you're right. You could have been like, oh, you know, maybe the wife took the car and they're dropping the kids off, or her car's in the shop. And there's always like a thing.
But to take it a step further, as I was pulling into this shop, I looked into the driveway, and I was like, well, how'd Matt get here? I didn't see his car.
Oh, see, there you go.
So now I'm back to square one, but all I had.
This is it. This is where it happened. So we drove the Ram TRX, which is big, over the top. We, you know, it's fun, you know, understanding what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then our friend John Hennessy reached out and said, you drove the TRX. I'd like to send you ours.
Mm-hmm.
Our Mammoth 1000.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the 707 horsepower TRX and made it 1,012 horsepower.
Right.
As he would do.
For city driving.
Yeah. It's funny because it's been a minute since I was been in this truck or something this big. And I just got it yesterday, and I haven't even driven it. So I just drove it here. And immediately, it's just like, it's massive. You're on the freeway. Everybody's smaller than you. And, you know, like, this is an expensive truck. And it's, and you know, they've got to show it at an event on the weekend. And I'm just nervous driving. It was just like, I just got to get my bearings on how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just couldn't get comfortable because as I'm driving here, my first driving task is completely wall-to-wall traffic on the 405 and the 101.
Right. So we got an extra 240 horsepower or so out of it, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe you need to open up anything on the lower end for that.
No,
right?
But he did swap the supercharger. He took the stock supercharger off, went with the Magnuson supercharger. It's a 2.65 liter supercharger.
So it's not about a pulley.
No, this one is that there are those kits, and there's porting the stock supercharger. You can take it off. You can take the case off. You can do like a port and polish, if you will.
On the supercharger.
Yes, on the supercharger.
And the intake?
Yes, in the intake and in the housing for it, because it's still kind of rough cast and there's some machine pieces to it. And there's a little bit of an improvement you can do on most of these types of superchargers. But the easier way to get to the bigger horsepower is to swap the supercharger. Now, along with that, you need fuel injectors, you need fuel, you need a good tune, you need a number of things to make it happen.
Any exhaust stuff?
He did do exhaust on it as well. I don't know that he did a lot of suspension work, but on this particular truck, you know, those customers typically want to go for a tougher look. So there's the front and rear of the bumpers and the retractable tonneau cover and all the LED lights.
Mm-hmm.
So this truck comes in at about $150,000. Now, being a turnkey package, the $150,000 is the truck, everything installed with the 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty. But if you had your truck and you wanted to send it down to him, he can do the supercharger package for it's $32,500 installed. That includes the supercharger, the pulley drives, thermostats, you know, thermostat upgrade, calibration, also installed, dyno tested, road tested, and warrantied. So it seems like, hey, you could buy a $7,000 supercharger, but if you want it installed and you want it warrantied and you want it ready to go out the door, it's $32,500. So there's wheel and tire packages, 35s. You can get the 37s. But this thing comes in at, I mean, it's 0-60 in 3.2 seconds on his test track. You know, John has his test track in his backyard, runs 11:40s in the quarter mile. It's funny, around town, it's still, I mean, it's fast, but it still feels docile. Mm-hmm. And all the Dodge performance vehicles, they have all the different settings and buttons you can push. There's a track and a sport, and of course, this one's snow and mud and off-road and stuff. And when they delivered it, like, just drive it, it's fine. And they said, then go in there, hit the sport button. That calibrates a tune. The tune for that sport button is different. And it's more aggressive in the Hennessy version. He's like, you can turn the tune on, leave the traction control on, and it's an animal. I was just getting onto the on ramp this morning. I was like, I've got 1 mile on this short freeway, the 90 kind of in the marina. Before I hit traffic, I'm just going to hit the sport button and just hammer down and see what happens. And this thing squats. It takes off. It's almost a little scary to drive. Like, it's kind of wiggling. And it's got the big off-road tires
and
stuff on it.
Little light in the front.
It's hard to – it's interesting to say, yes, it's light in the front for a vehicle that weighs, I don't know, 5,000-something pounds. But I just think
– maybe more.
But also with sort of the off-road tires, it just doesn't have...
Is it all-wheel drive?
Yeah, it is. So
full-time all-wheel.
And it hooks. You know,
right.
It just,
so no,
it launches.
No locking any hubs or... I mean getting out.
Yeah,
anymore,
yeah, yeah. And I mean, it has its low modes and stuff like that for the off-road, but it's full-time.
Is it like 70-30? Do they break it up?
Yeah, I don't really know what the configuration is on it. It's funny because... those specs pop up more when I'm reading into the all-wheel drive super sedans and sports cars and, you know, like a Porsche Panamera. They're like, oh, yeah, it's all-wheel drive, but it can go into drift mode and put all the power to the rear wheels. And, you know, so there's not a lot of that discussion with this truck. I don't see it in any of the information that they sent me. But it's... I mean, if you had, listen, yeah, obviously Goldberg's got his big ranch. He's got his TRX, and he offers, he's coming out soon with his Goldberg's Garage branded power packages. Mm-hmm. So he's been driving around and testing his like 980 rear wheel horsepower TRX. The development of that package is done. It's going to go to emissions testing. That's the big thing, is emissions testing.
Sorry, the 1012, that's to the crank or to the rear wheels?
This one he doesn't say, so I think it's
Probably to the crank.
So this is a similar package, but Goldberg sent his truck back for the development on the twin turbo package. Now, I don't think it's going to be compound boost, right? It's not going to be turbos blowing into the supercharger, which we've seen. And you could do that because its weight is less of a concern. But I think the company he works with, Gearhead Fabrications, has had more success with taking the supercharger off, but keeping that lower manifold that has the air to water intercooler, and then they build a manifold, they either cast something or do a sheet metal manifold on top, and then twin turbos blows into a manifold where the supercharger would be, but uses the intercooler,
and
it's all packaged. It's pretty amazing that we can develop these things, and by the way, offer something like this with emissions legal 2-year warranty and 1,012 horsepower in a truck.
Well, it's the halcyon days of horsepower. Nobody thought we'd ever get here because, you know, back in the day when we were talking about horsepower, we were talking about horsepower, but we weren't really talking about suspension and brakes and things of that nature. So, you know, some guy'd get a Chevelle or a Nova and he'd put some, you know, high rise manifold with twin Holley double pumpers on there, you know, something. And you would have that horsepower, but you'd have small unvented disc in the front. Maybe a live rear axle, leaf springs, you know what I mean? Drums in the rear. Like, you just had none of the stuff that would help it turn or brake or any, forget about traction control, any of that. And so the concept was always like, Well, the guy's got the Chevelle with 675 horsepower, but it's scarier and shit. Like, the guy's wife couldn't drive it. And then the concept was sort of like, well, so what if he gets to 900 horsepower? It's undrivable. You know, I mean, you could go in a straight line, you know, at a quarter mile, but you couldn't take it out and throw it around with that kind of horsepower. You don't have the brakes, suspension.
Or the technology.
Or the technology.
Now we have adjustable suspension, adjustable drive modes. You know, all sorts of things that allow you to sort of Jekyll and Hyde the vehicle, right? You can drive it around town and calm everything down and make it comfortable. And you can go off-road or you can go to a racing track if for different types of cars. But some of the supercar technology of things like adjustable suspension and pop-up wings and things like that is trickling down to a lot of cars, anything with performance oriented. This truck has launch control. What do you want launch control for? You don't need it, but it's just fun. And they're like, we already have the technology. Why not just put it in there?
Yeah. So what it reminds me of is when we're thinking, sometimes we're thinking in a kind of narrow band kind of thinking. So like back when I was talking about, you know, big horsepower and what guys were doing for big horsepower, it was always about horsepower. No one really thought about suspension, brakes, computers, you know, electronics and things like that. So we were kind of at a weird loggerhead because we're like, so what if you got this much horsepower? It's still in a Chevelle. But we never really thought about the day where you'd have that horsepower and have that drivability. What a time we're living in. All right, let me tell you about Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro. Now anyone can easily create perfect, strong pocket hole joints with the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro, the most versatile pocket hole jig yet. It works on a wide variety of material, great for all types of indoor and outdoor projects. Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro comes with everything you need, the drill, the driver bits as well, and also, I should say that drill bits and the driver bits. You got to provide the drill. Material gauge, a Craig Classic face clamp, 100 Craig pocket hole screws, and a project plan. Just retails for just $99.99. Available nationwide at Home Depot, Lowe's, and other centers, woodworking centers and hardware stores and things. This is a nice tool. It's a serious tool for those who listen, who work in the garage, who work with their hands, who want to put wood together. This is the best way to do it. And you can do pocket hole projects anytime, anywhere. You learn more at craigtool.com. That's K-R-E-G-tool.com. I don't know why, but I was sitting around the other night and I was looking through some old videos of car casts going around the track in that 2+2 Nissan of mine, the turbo car. And I just sort of forgot how much I like driving that car. And I was looking at the old video where the Porsche 914 cut me off and sent me into the dirt. But before that, it was cool. And I was looking at our TrackMate software, though. I don't know what software we had in the car. But one of the laps was a 138 flat. And I was like, that car was hauling ass on that track for me. Just, you know, 139s mostly, but 138 in there as well. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like the speed, the speedo up there. Where you're at on the track, don't really need that, but that's fine. But it was kind of cool info. And it was nice to see your lap times, and it was nice to see your speeds, not only your top speed, but getting down into the slower bits of the track, which you had to get down to. And I thought, we got to get that thing back and hooked up to something.
No, so we had that system, and then we switched to something else. There was some, I don't know why, but there was some compatibility issue with whatever we were trying to do or tie into one of the fuel injection systems or something. But I think we have V-Box. If that sounds familiar, we have V-Box. I think we have that system. And I don't know if it's in the Porsche right now or if we used it for something.
I got to check it out. But either way, before too long, whenever we make our decision on what we're going with next time or what event we're getting up to, we should definitely get that system up and running now.
Yeah, the V-Box we have, but it takes a little bit, like we got to get ahead of it because I think there's a little bit of wiring or it needs like a power source and there's some cameras that it comes with that I have to be sort of fastened in.
And, you know, we're going way back to 2013, but with our last video or system, but I got to believe there's got to be some wireless shit going on these days.
There now, is, but
I don't know if you're getting a tack out of that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There were some issues with getting the data on the screen that you want, like tack and stuff. I think there's GPS speed is pretty easy to do now, but there were some other issues with getting certain data. I think if I remember correctly, whatever car we ran the V-Box in, probably the 935, Sean might have dipped into there and installed some stuff. If it wasn't that car, he did some sort of installation to figure some things out. So we'd have to look at that and maybe move that to the next car. I mean, it's fairly portable, but it's not just like throw your iPhone in the car and then when the video pops out, you know, the tack is there and the line speed, you know, the track times are there. There's a little bit of coordinating that needs to do.
All right, you drove the Passat, which
I have been driving.
Kind of boring, but on the other hand, I've always liked the VW stuff. I mean, obviously, it's not a BMW, and it's not an Audi, but it. Somebody brought up. I was sitting around last night. And somebody brought up having a Scirocco back in the day, and man, when I was around in the early '80s, if you had a Scirocco, you were a winner. You were not not slumming it. You were a winner. And if you had, you know, a GTI Rabbit, you were a winner. Mm-hmm. And plenty of guys in the San Fernando Valley, probably a little different than you in Florida, but plenty of guys who done a lot of breathing on GTIs.
Oh, yeah.
Squatted with side skirts and rims and white on white or monochromatic, you know, that look. Scirocco. I always kind of like the VW stuff. The Passat looks pretty good from what I've seen.
You know, I had a friend of mine got a Passat years ago and it was a big deal. It's like, this is a nice car and it had a leather interior and it was the first nice car that he had. And we really kind of enjoyed it, and it felt like a good-sized sedan, and it felt fairly reliable, and it felt like it was good gas mileage. And, you know, I don't think that the Passat has really changed in that category much. Maybe it goes up against Honda Accord, Mazda 6, you know, things of that sense. But, you know, it really only has the one engine option now. Now, keep in mind, the Passat, maybe less in the U.S., but other parts of the world, it's been the victim of VW's Dieselgate, right? So we only have, I believe, the 2-liter turbo engine available here, and it's fine. It's not going to win any races, but the fuel economy works, and it's a nice enough car, especially when you consider, you know, it's in the low $30,000 range. You get a lot of car and a good-sized sedan for that range.
Are they out of the diesel business? And is everyone out of the diesel business in the U.S.?
Yeah, I haven't seen much come up with the diesel stuff in a while. But I'll tell you, because the diesel Passat was such a big part of their business model, and there's no more diesel Passat, we're actually going to see the end of the Passat. And it's been a car in their model lineup for, I don't know, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think next year, either 22 or 23 is going to be the last model year of the Passat. I don't know if they're going to bring it back as an EV or use that nameplate somewhere, but this is it. Like, I just drove this car, but this is sort of the farewell to the Passat. This wasn't like, hey, drive the brand new Passat. It's got some new sheet metal on it, so it looks a little better. And I believe it's made in Tennessee.
Right.
You know, but it still suffers from some things on that platform. You know, it still has a pretty small infotainment screen, you know, like a 6.3, but it, you know, it does CarPlay. It, you know, has all the technology that you would suspect it would have. But listen, if you're looking for a full size, you know, a good size sedan, you can take a look at the Passat before it's gone, especially if you're a VW loyalist. But just know that this is on its way out.
What was the VW before the Passat?
Don't they have a big one, though? They have a...
Well, they got Ayrton? A they got a big Ayrton. Flagship, but yeah. What was the... Oh, the Jetta. That's what I was thinking of. I think Jimmy had a Jetta back then. The thing about the Jettas and some of those like early forms of VW is they were kind of cool because they had a kind of Euro vibe on the interior and everything was cool, but they were much less than a BMW or, I don't know, an Audi or something. But they just didn't last. They weren't durable like the Hondas. You got the sort of Euro.
Don't tell that to Frankie Muniz.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the
Jetta.
Yeah, he's got the Fast and Furious Jetta, I believe.
That's right. He bought it back from himself.
He just like sold it and bought it. And, I don't know.
Yeah. That's a, you know, that's a place we should all strive for, where you like put a car into an auction and then you bid to get it back.
Yeah, which I don't think you're allowed to do, so I'm not exactly how he got it back, but maybe bought it from somebody.
Maybe got it from the winning bid or something.
Yeah.
Sweet guy, living in New
Arizona? Yeah, he was in Arizona.
All right.
Yeah, but by the way, never think about it. Car guy, at Barrett Jackson auctions there every year. Frequent buyer and seller of cars, you know, just likes what he likes.
Yeah. the Porsche has got the new Mission R concept that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so I just kind of brought it up. It's just an exercise from Porsche. We'll bring up some photos. Maybe one of the guys can grab the Porsche Mission R photos. It's small. It's all electric. It's over 1,000 horsepower. And it could be sort of a thought from Porsche on a couple things is it could be some foreshadowing into what the next version of the 718 might be, the Cayman, just be given its size, maybe some R&D onto the EV, an EV 718, because this is an all-electric vehicle, this Mission R. Also, Porsche is putting some attention on going, you know what, we've got our model specific cup series, right? 911s. What about something like this, an all electric version of a cup series, if you will, just a model specific.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the exercise.
Now this is a track car. Yeah. My take with the electric racing is it's totally fine. Racing's racing. It's fun. I don't think we can go in and swap cars or like swap battery packs. Maybe battery packs. I don't like the go in and swap cars, you know, when
so
the batteries
just
get low.
The race is done. Like that's,
you
time it out to where the battery is.
Here's the technology. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets the same battery. Everyone's got the same, you know, range. And then maybe there's some strategy about how you're going to use that. You know, maybe it factors in like they do with fuel in NASCAR and Indy, you know, where, you know, it always, whenever you watch.
Fuel strategy is huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you watch the Indy 500, the last 25 laps of the race, it's all they're talking about is when they're pitting, strategies. What are they doing? Is he drafting? You know what I mean? Can he make it? Kind of makes it exciting to see if the guy's not coming in to refuel, see if he's going to stay out there, you know, all that good stuff. Then a yellow comes in, and now we have another factor to deal with. But I could watch a sprint race. Like, we don't have to go to Road Atlanta and do a six-hour enduro. Like, we could just do a sprint race. I'm making up the technology, but... If the battery, in fact, is, you know, a level playing field, everyone's got the same, especially if you're doing an IROC type series, you know, you get best drivers from Le Mans, the best from Indy, and the best from, GT, you know, put them all, NASCAR, put them all in the same car, kind of like the BMW M1 Pro Car kind of thing. Everyone's topped off with the same charge. And, you know, the race is essentially long enough for one charge, no battery swaps, no car swaps. That would be fun. I think when you get into swapping the cars like the E Formula E was doing.
Yeah.
I think that feels weird to me.
Swapping the battery didn't seem to work.
I don't know, weren't the technology, I believe, where you could do a 100-mile race or like a 90-minute race. I mean, you also have to factor in yellows and reds and blacks and, you know,
yeah,
stuff
going on. Yeah, I was
going to
say, can you get 90 minutes of TV out of it?
Right.
You know, can you get that? Can you get a 90-minute race out of it?
Right.
I don't know. A car like this, which is fairly small, is not going to have a lot of battery. So they're going to, you know, but I think it's also important for car companies to get into this because a lot of this does, for lack of a better term, fuel their R&D into the streetcars. Like what sort of temperature ranges can we put batteries and electric motors through? What sort of everything? Just what sort of durability on gearing and all sorts of things like in the EV world? How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like we do now, you know, the Pratt and Miller Corvettes, they beat on those things. And a lot of what happens there gets sort of trickled down to the street Corvettes. We had the Corvette C8 launch. They're racing the C8 and they're taking what's happening from there and putting that into the Z06, which is coming out soon. That's why they waited, whatever, 2 years or a year or something to get that car out.
Yeah, I wonder what something like the Porsche Mission R would – I wonder what it would retail for.
Well, as a racing car, we're not sure. But if some of this technology trickles down to an EV version of the Cayman,
mm-hmm.
it could be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I don't think – you know, Ferrari made an FXX, and there's other versions. I guess Porsche kind of did their reboot
the 935
and stuff like that. You're never really going to lose on buying the very limited production, track-only, marquee name, Porsche, Ferrari, what have you, car. I don't think you're ever going to get burned if you spend $1 million on that car, because we all know it could go across the block at Gooding in 4 years for, you know, 1.7.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Mack Weldon. You're busy. Stop thinking about what to wear and embrace Mack Weldon's daily wear system, a selection of clothes with smart design, performance fabrics built to work together. From breathable T-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear and beyond. Mack Weldon, they're just a cut above. The stuff is great, especially the T-shirts. They're almost like – they just have this – they're like – they almost correct your posture. Just kind of pull your shoulders back, feel good.
I stocked up on my Mack Weldon polos before we went to Monterey.
Yeah, it's not like...
Because they were lightweight and breathable, but still kind of felt like you can walk.
Yeah, Mack Weldon makes serious stuff. And for the ultimate lazy Sunday, their Ace sweatshorts, oh, I like that, pair perfectly with their ultra-soft, ultra-upgraded Pima tees and their silver knit polo, what we're talking about, radius shorts are perfect, high-tech, highly packable combo. Yeah, you can pack them, travel, light. It's Mack Weldon, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, buy some time this summer with the Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/carcast and enter promo code CARCAST. That's mackweldon.com/carcast. The promo code is CARCAST for 20% off. It's Mack Weldon, radically efficient wardrobing.
So we got the Tesla Plaid, an overview of that.
I was talking to Alistair Weaver from Edmunds and mm-hmm. the Tesla Plaid. Funny enough, we were talking about driving the Hennessy Mammoth, $150,000, 1,000 horsepower. And he's like, yeah. And I just drove the Model S Plaid, about $140,000, 1,020 horsepower. And it is currently the quickest production car out there. Now, the Rimac supercar, a couple million bucks, is faster, but not really in production yet, haven't delivered the car. Tesla claims 0 to 60 in 1.99 seconds, and I think they said 9:23 in the quarter mile. And the guys from Edmonds, they brought it out to their test track. They ran 2.3 seconds, but they didn't calculate in the 1 foot rollout, and then they didn't calculate in a drag strip with prep track. And they said
a lot of rubber on the track.
And they said, you know, Tesla's claim of 1.99 at a drag strip is pretty much it. They think they're within a tenth of a second of that. Incredibly
fast. On street tires.
Yeah.
So Tesla couldn't throw on some slicks and heat them up.
I mean, it doesn't seem to spin the tires, and there's a launch mode. Like when they tested it, it was on the drag strip in their launch mode. By the way, launch mode is not like what you and I have seen in these other in these gas engine cars.
Mm-hmm.
The launch mode has a countdown timer, and it can be anywhere from 7 to 12 minutes. Like they just sat there at the light at the drag strip at their test track, you know, the street drag strip. And the car had to prep itself. It had to temperature the batteries and get it dialed in. And it lowers the car and getting it ready. It took them, I think the first run, it took them 12 minutes. So as far as rolling up on a, you know, like a Saturday night or like a Monday run with your brung kind of Irwindale thing, and cars are lining up, you don't get to skid to the light and sit there for 12 minutes as the car preps itself.
And it's not spinning the tires.
It doesn't spin the tire.
All-wheel drive.
It's three motors, two in the rear, one in the front.
But the question is it's obviously calibrated in launch not to spin the tire. So it's going to go right up to the edge of where they would break loose.
And
they would stop. But if you're running a slick, would it be recalibrated?
I don't know.
And did Tesla do that to get their sub two?
But they didn't run a slick. They did the video with Leno and he ran something fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
They backed it up with him. The point was they're like, out of the showroom floor, it runs 923s. Out of the showroom floor, at a drag strip, it runs 923s. A showroom floor with street tires on the street, it runs, I don't know, 950 or something like that.
Right.
It's still faster than anything out there. That's 1,020 horsepower. It's like 1,000 pound-feet of torque.
What architecture is that on? Is that on the sedan, right?
That's the sedan, the Model S. It's still the same one. And arguably, that's a little long in the tooth. So they're doing some things like a lot of car companies do. You know, Dodge Charger has been out for a long time. So they just keep throwing horsepower and fender flares out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally what they did here. They threw horsepower and fender flares at it and made it more competent. And, you know, it pulled a lot of G's on the skid pad, and the braking was okay. But it's not really... To Alistair's point, he was saying, don't expect it to be an M5 or a Porsche Panamera turbo. I mean, it on the interior is, even though the car has all the performance, it doesn't have a sporty feel in the interior. Interior is the same, seats are flat, it doesn't have like a sporty seat, doesn't have cool Recaros, it's not really in that essence a sports sedan. It's just a really, really fast electric car. One of the things he brought up was going as fast as they did around the track and drag racing again and again, with your body being so used to a combination of sense of speed, the visceral part of it, he got sick after a couple, you know, whatever, a couple hours. You had to take a break, drink some water, because the body was like, you're going really fast, like a roller coaster, but we don't hear anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I was like, you know, I get it, because you're filming and you're talking to the camera, but if you roll the windows down, you would get a sense of speed. And he's like, that's true. We never even thought to roll the windows down for a breather. But the interesting part is there's no steering wheel. It's a yoke. And it's kind of a shit show.
Like, yeah.
You can't hand over hand.
You're saying yoke, but it's kind of a butterfly yoke?
Yeah. And they literally call it a yoke. He called it the joke. But it looks, you know, it's Knight Rider. It's Mike Knight. It's an airplane. It's just.
A yoke mounts on the floor, and the steering column goes, you know, through the firewall.
Right.
But it's a like butterfly.
It's a butterfly steering wheel.
Right.
Tesla literally calls it a yoke. He said, not only can you not go hand over hand, you're just kind of slapping away.
Right.
But also as you're doing it, you're looking for something to grip. You're constantly hitting buttons and the horn and all kinds of stuff. He said that's kind of a mess. And it's like, why do it? It's for Twitter, right? That's the thing.
So people in the parking lot know when they look through the window.
Tesla's all in on this this yoke. It seems kind of silly. It seems like it could be an option. It doesn't have to be the standard thing.
I agree.
A couple ergonomic things. We talked last week about the ergonomics in cars, right? We talked about that Tesla trackpad and certain shifters going up and down and touchscreens. Again, here, if you see the photo, on the left side, your left thumb, that's the indicators, your signal left and right. It's not left side and right side of the steering wheel.
Right.
And he said, it's just too tough to get used to because now you're using your left thumb to turn right and turn left.
To signal, yeah.
And it's a weird ergonomics thing. It just doesn't make sense. And the car does this weird thing. It doesn't have a stock where any sort of park, drive, neutral, doesn't have any mechanical way of doing it. On the touchscreen, there's a slider where with your finger up for drive, slide it down for reverse. Now, the car also tries to figure it out for you. You pull into your garage at home. It says there's a wall there. So when you get in it and put your foot on the brake, it's in reverse.
Right.
It's going to want to go reverse.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few times it doesn't work. You pull up to, let's say, take Sonny to a game and there's a fence, right? It doesn't really kind of figure out the fence. So it's a little hokey. And I did see videos of people trying to just do a 3-point turn.
Oh,
there's no walls.
Right.
So you're spinning this thing around with the yoke and you can't grab the top. And then you spin up and then you got to slide up and you got to slide down. And, you know, if you're in a rush because you're in the middle of traffic.
Yeah. That would bother me.
For such a smart car, this is a kind of a dumb thing. But that being said, incredibly impressive performance. We have a sedan that weighs 4,800 pounds. It runs 920s in the quarter mile. It arguably hits 2 seconds, give or take, 0 to 60. It's just a rocket. It's just a rocket ship. Like, I don't know that you're going to go to Laguna Seca and have as much fun in this as you would, let's say, an M5, but it would definitely, haul around the track.
All right, take care of your business, then I'll talk to you about a Mustang.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about good guys. It's the Rod and Custom Association. It's coming to Loveland, Colorado for the 23rd Colorado Nationals, presented by Griot's Garage. It's at the Ranch Events Complex on September 10th through the 12th. It's right around the corner. There's over 2,000 classic cars and trucks on display with an autocross, a burnout competition, and vintage dragster exhibition. They also have a huge swap meet and a specialty car auction. And, of course, bring the whole family. There's live entertainment. There's a model and pedal car display. There's a whole kid zone that's free. By the way, kids 6 and under get in for free for the entire event. You can go and you can buy your tickets at goodguys.com. Use promo code CARCAST for $5 off. That's good-guys.com. Promo code CARCAST for $5 off.
Well, I don't know if you saw on Bring a Trailer, but there's a Mustang Cobra. On there. I knew you saw that.
There's a Mustang Cobra with like 120 something miles and the Cobra R with 46 miles.
46.
Now I know a guy, a very nice guy that I talked to at Bear Jackson a couple of years ago, and he bought like the 122 mile Cobra R, the 93 Cobra R model. Mm-hmm. 107 made. He paid $120,000 for the thing, wrapped in plastic. People are like, this is crazy. It's the most amount of money. And now, where are we now on Bring a Trailer? It was like within the first hour, it was at $110,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's plastic on the seats. I mean, factory plastic, the factory wrap on the steering wheel, like the whole
window sticker. Like, it was never even dealer prep. Like, it's just, which is interesting because people send these to me and I'm like, it's cool, I get it, but you can't drive it ever, so you got to just be that guy that has the big car collection.
Yeah, it's
where's it? $130,000 right now.
Yeah, so here's the business model. In 1993, you spend $39,000 for this car.
Yeah, maybe 25.
Yeah, I don't know. See what this thing's stickered for. You spend 30 grand for
There's
it.
There's probably a picture of the window sticker in this.
And then 20 years later, it's worth $1.75. But if you just put that money into a T-bill, you'd probably break even.
Yeah, but you don't get to stare at a T-bill every day. $25,742.
Wow. All right. You're going to turn a profit because this thing's going to hammer out $1.80, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't get to drive it, but you got to stare at it.
Yeah,
you have to talk about it,
which makes you wonder what those what my favorite SVTs,
the SVOs.
SVO, sorry,
yeah, they're still like 20 grand.
I'm telling you, people, snatch a few of those up. Those things clean one of those, you'll do okay on that car.
Yeah. Now keep in mind, the R model is only 107 made,
49 miles, right?
Yeah,
yeah, kind of cool piece, but again. There's the rub. You get this car. It's got all the plastic on the steering wheel and the sticker in the window and everything. And now, do you go out and drive it?
You don't drive it. You buy another Cobra.
Yeah.
And by the way, another street car Cobra
people,
or something.
People get all highfalutin, like, these cars were meant to be driven. Yeah.
Not this one. Clearly it wasn't.
Well, this car's got...
It's too late.
286 horsepower. 315?
235.
I was being generous. All right, this thing's got 235.
I mean, it was underrated. It was like 250.
All right, let's say 250. I don't know if this thing's a five-speed.
Yeah.
They're probably all five-speeds. It's got 250 horsepower. It's 3,800 pounds or 37.5 or...
3,250.
Really? All right. It's over 300. It's over 3,000 pounds. It's got 250 horsepower. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have that much fun in it. It's basically what I'm saying. Just go right. Get yourself.
Just go get another 93 Cobra. Put a supercharger or something on it. Like modify it a little bit. Do what you want.
Or get like a Mini Cooper R.
Yeah.
And go have some fun.
The new Z. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that thing looks good. It's priced right. 400 horsepower. Manual transmission. You have a blast in that car.
Yeah, go throw that thing around the track.
I can't wait to drive that thing. That thing looks good.
I finally washed the old Z and put it back in the shop.
When you say you mean...
I dispatched someone to do it.
I think I saw Roberto over there.
Hell yes. I'm not doing that.
I saw him crawling around the back seat, wiping it around.
All right, let me tell you about the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro. Oh, man. Now anyone can easily create the perfect... strong pocket hole joints with the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro. It's the most versatile pocket hole jig yet. I wish these things were around when I was a young cabinet maker, man.
You had to do it by hand. You had to eyeball that.
No, man. I had to do joinery. Like, I had to make dados and rabbits and, you know, I had to really carve out a slot and drop the other thing in. It was a lot of work. It was a mess. Through nail it. Glue it and everything.
Best now, $6 an hour you ever made.
Probably up to 12 by then. Yeah, I wish I had this Craig Pocket Hole Jig, man. And it's a beautiful tool. It's a real piece. It'll help you line up. It'll line everything up perfectly. And then you bore at an angle. I don't know if it's 45 degrees, but you bore in at an angle, and they give you special screws. They give you 100 Craig pocket hole screws and a project plan, and it retails for just $99.99. Also, you get the driver, so you can drive the screws in and then detach it. It'll give you the bit, because you got to do the right size bit for the special pocket hole Craig.
It's good that
tools.
It all comes in a
screws.
Kit.
It's all there.
It takes a lot of the, you know, they got the booklet for it, so it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. You're like, just follow step one, step two, step three. And
yeah, well, if you need a tape measure and a cordless drill, and then you're basically home free at that point. Everything else is there. And if you want to use it, I think the best way to use it is to build cabinetry. Like, all right, so everyone's got a kitchen, everyone's got bathroom cabinets that might not do anything there. But how about for the garage? How about like some garage storage?
Yeah.
That stuff is so expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And what you can do is you can go to Home Depot and you can buy vinyl coated white stuff. You can just buy blanks. You can just buy 12 inch wide blanks with the edge banding, a white edge band on it.
Yeah.
You just take it home, cut it up and put it together, butt joint it, put it together and use your pocket hole jig. It's as strong as doing real cabinet joinery. And it's fractions of the cost of having someone come out.
It lines up, right? Like the white trim edge lines up. Mm-hmm. If you just went 90 degrees, you'd have that raw wood at the end. Plus, it's not as strong. It wouldn't really work.
Right. So get that. And a little tip, when you do mount it in your garage, they actually make little white buttons you can put over the screw holes that just snap in.
Yeah.
So it looks all uniform. That is the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro, and you can go to kregtool.com. It's a nice tool. All right, let's see. You can find me live events. Is it tonight? Where am I?
Yeah, tonight at the Royal Oak and tomorrow at Kansas City.
There you go. Tonight, Royal Oak. Tomorrow, Kansas City. And Kansas City, the Arvest Bank Theater. So doing a couple theater dates. Royal Oak is beautiful. It's a beautiful theater. So come on out. Say hi after the show. I'll come out. Say hi to you guys. Tell us you're a CarCast fan, and I'll give you that a boy. Chicago coming up, Park West, September 24th, Solana Beach, September 22nd. It's out in San Diego. Just go to amcroll.com for all the live shows, and you can check out our chassis channel on Pluto TV as well. What do you got, man?
Give me a follow on Instagram at Motorator.
And until next time, Sam Kroll for Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.